Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
So who here is pumped for winter camp? Yes! Yes! I am so excited. There is a ton of you signed up already. So if you have not registered, make sure to bring like 10 of those things home. Stick them everywhere where your parents can see them and be like, sign me up. Sign me up. Talk to them. Tell them the importance of this time in your life, in your pursuit of Jesus and going to this camp. Maybe you've had a lot of stress going on. You've had a lot with school going on. Winter camp is a time for you to recharge. It's time for you to get your focus in. And some of you are like, I don't want to miss school. That's the lamest piece of garbage I've ever heard. So, last year you missed 2 days of school if you even had school. This year you will only need to miss one, and it's a Friday anyways. Nothing ever happens at school on Fridays. It doesn't. We are leaving late enough on Thursday that you can show up here after school and still be fine. Sound good? All right, so make sure to tell your parents, only miss 1 day of school. I really want to go because I want to meet with Jesus. I want to be a better person. I want to be a good Christian, right? All these things? Yeah, okay. You're like, Biggest thing, sign up, register. You are absolutely going to love winter camp. And if you don't go, you're going to be definitely in the minority because most of us, if not all of us, will be there. It is awesome. So bring back your registration next week filled out with money. And you get locked into a free awesome shirt that is not available for purchase. You're absolutely going to love it. Going to love it. For sure, hype. Give it up. All right. So have you guys ever watched somebody start a fire? Yes. You have. Some of you are the fire starters. You're like, yeah, right now, let's do it. Yeah, yeah. So unless you have, like, crazy rednecks in your family, most fires do not start with, like, gasoline, and, like, half the neighborhood burns down. So I'm not talking about those kinds of starting fires. What I'm talking about is, like, a normal fire. Like, you're going to light a fire inside your house to stay warm fire. That typically starts with a very small spark. Small spark. So those of you who want man camping, you've seen a fire start without matches. It's like, there it was. Andy was there, it's true. So, small spark, comes a little flame, starts rising up. But if it's not tended to, it starts to die. It starts to fade down. So you have to fan it, you got to put stuff in it, you got to keep it going, you got to keep the fire burning. And eventually it's like, it like burns down the whole forest if you're not careful, right? But it starts off as this small little spark. It starts off so small. And so a few years back, me knowing this, because sometimes I feel smart, and I'm like, I know things, and fire starts with a small spark. I get home, and I'm like, I need to check the mail, because it's one of my favorite things to do. And I got my pajama pants on, so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go check the mail. Because I check the mail in my pajama pants, because I can. It's free country, right? I mean, why not? So I go outside and I close the door because it's cold. And I'm like, door closed. Go out, open the mailbox, and I'm like, hey, there's no mail. That's stupid. So I start walking back to the house, and I grab the doorknob, and I'm like, oh, that's even more dumb. The door's locked. I'm like, no big deal. I'm like, oh, that's right. Mandy's not home. So I grab my phone out of my pajama pants. I'm like, hey, Mandy, can you come unlock me from, you know, I'm locked out. And she's like, no, I can't. I am held up with some things. I cannot get home for like 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, you're smart. You'll figure it out. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, no big deal, right? No big deal. No big deal. I'll just find an open window. I'll find an unlocked window. The problem is, apparently I like to lock things up. So I can't get into my own house now. And, you know, no big deal. You just hang outside, right? I forgot to tell you it's in February. And it's snowing. And it's really windy. And I got my pajama pants on. With a very light hoodie. And it's really cold. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to freeze to death, I'm pretty sure. They're going to find, like, this frozen youth pastor just chilling on his porch with, like, a monster in his hand. Like, here's frozen Carl, you know. So,
I'm like, man, what can I do? I can start a fire. I'll do that. We're in the city limits, no big deal. So I get a bunch of wood, and I pile it up on our porch, and I grab some sticks, and I'm like, get some friction going, there goes a spark, up comes a fire, and I'm like, yeah. Grab a lawn chair, kick on back, got my feet up. I can still catch Wi-Fi from in the house, so I'm like checking Facebook. I'm like, woo-hoo. Neighbors are like, at the mini blinds, like, this dude's lighting his porch on fire, what's up? And I'm like, hey. So Mandy pulls in like an hour later. Here I am, chilling in my pajama pants on the porch with this roaring fire going right next to me. And I stayed warm. And it was amazing. But it all started with that really, really small spark from that heat, from that friction that came from those two little sticks that I found. And I almost got blisters because, like, it went. So Mandy's like, you seriously started a fire in her porch? And I'm like, yeah, the neighbors are freaked out too. Don't worry about it. Cops didn't come. It was fine. What I want you guys to get out of all this, I think there's something that the Holy Spirit wants you to understand. And in writing this message, I believe he was saying that we have a similar responsibility. You can look at your circumstances. You can say, I'm away from God, or I don't feel close to him, or these things are going wrong in my life. And you can make excuses, or you can start a fire. You can do something about it. You can take steps forward to not just use these as a crutch, to say, you know what, I'm going to make a difference to come in this. You can talk about giving your life back to Jesus, but there comes a time when we've just got to stop talking, and we've just got to do it. There comes a time when the excuses finally run out, and we say, man, I just got to do this. It's a place where we get to where it's just you and Jesus. Maybe you've got the excuses, well, I'm not ready yet, or I don't have anything of value to give the Lord. That's fine, because he gave it all for you anyways. He knows where you are at. He knows the things you have. And it comes down to, do you believe that God is bigger than the issues you face or not? Do you believe that he's bigger than the things you're facing or not? Allow that small spark to light a fire. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for everybody who's here. God, I thank you for a youth group that has open hearts. I thank you for open minds, God. And Lord, for those who are here that are authentic followers of you, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. Help them to root deeper in relationship with you. God, for the ones that are here who have not given their life to you, I pray, Lord, that maybe tonight will be the night. You love them, God, and I'm just excited they're in this room. I'm excited that they're here, that they're going to hear truth. They're going to hear how much you love them and you care for them. And Lord, I pray that someday soon they'll make the most important decision. It's in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. So like I was just saying, if you're here and maybe this is like your first time in church, or you've never given your life to the Lord, you don't consider yourself a Christian, I just want to say I'm pumped you're here, and you're going to hear some teachings out of the Word that are here to design us who would consider ourselves authentic followers. It's going to help us root a little deeper. And so I just want you to hang with us, hear what we got to say, and if you ever do decide to give your life to the Lord, you'll already have an idea of what an authentic Christ follower would look like. All right, so Revelation 2, y'all are there. Hey. Okay. It says this. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name, and you have not grown weary. So Revelations is one of these books that some places make total sense, and other places you're like, what? What? And that's just the nature of the book. Not everything in Revelations is clear. Some things are. And part of that, I believe, will be revealed to us when we get to heaven. The Lord will say, this is what I meant by that. This is what I meant. And in this passage, I am so thankful that at least this portion is like super clear. Excuse me, super clear. So in this, we see in the beginning of this passage, Jesus himself is setting up the whole background for what he wants this passage to say. And he's speaking this to a church. So I want you to get that. This is to a church. This is to believers. This is to people who say they follow the Lord, not to unsaved, not to unchurched people. He's saying, my followers, my children, listen to what I want to tell you.
Now, how many of you know just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you have it all together? It doesn't mean that you've been made perfected in the image of Christ. That day is promised. That day will come when you stand before the Lord. But until then, we are being made more like him. We're pressing on towards that goal. So none of us have it all together, but all of us are to keep our hearts soft and teachable. We are to keep our hearts moldable and instructable, bent towards the Lord, being willing to just hear what he has to speak to us. And so Jesus here, he starts off and he's commending the good things that he sees in this church and his followers, the church in Ephesus. He says that they were able to tell what things were of the Lord, what things weren't. They didn't like unholiness. They didn't like things that violated God's standards. And it says that they endured a lot. They endured much for Jesus. And that brings us into our text verse. He's saying, here's all this awesome stuff that I see in you. The text verse, verses 4 and 5, says, yet I hold this against you. So when God says that, you probably should listen. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent. Do the things that you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I'm like, man, Jesus just got real. What is up? When I hear that, that's like the first thing that comes to my mind. I'm like, he's going to remove our position? Like, that's a big, big deal. So it makes me go a little further into this. And in this, a lot of times we think of this in the context that if we just want to get back with Jesus, we put our lives back in doing the things that we did before. If I want to get back to how I was with Jesus, I'm going to do the same things. I'm going to hang with the same people. I'm going to go to the same church. I'm going to worship with the same songs. And you're like, yeah, alive. And you're jumping, you're doing all this stuff. You're doing all of these things. And I would agree that there are things that you would need to go back to in your relationship with Christ that maybe you haven't been doing. But if your heart is not there, if you don't have that passion, it's hollow. It's empty. It becomes just works. So you can do all the same things you did before, but if your heart isn't bent towards Jesus, if you're not burning with passion for it, then you're not going to have the same effect. But if you have passion, nothing else will matter. You'll have this one passion consume you. This one passion will consume you. See, what the Lord is getting at here isn't that we need to return to the same works that we were doing. What he's saying is he wants us to return to the love that we have in Christ with passion. He wants us to return to that same place of love that we had for him. The New Living Translation says it beautifully. He says, I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You don't love me. You don't love each other as you did at first. What he's saying there is he's saying, where is your heart? Where is your passion? What happened to how you used to just burn? How you just wanted to know me so much deeper, so much more? So with all this background, with all of this in here, how do we get ourselves to a place of passion, a place that consumes us like we once had? How do we get there? You guys are going to love this message tonight because it's only 2 points. Say 2 points. 2 points. Yes. Either you're hippies or you're like 2 points. What's up? Point number one, if you want to return to that same passion or you want to keep your passion burning for the Lord, the first thing you need to do is remember why you love. Take notes, write that down. Remember why you love. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love because he first loved us. The very reason that you have a relationship with Jesus is because he's crazy about you. Because he burns with passion for you so much that even in all of your mess, even in all of your sin, he still burned with passion for you. He gave up everything for you. Submitted himself to death to raise victorious over it for you. He burns for you. And it's only possible to know him because he first loved you. Even in all of your garbage, even in all of your mess, he loved you. He loved you. If you want to return to a place of love for God, if you want to renew relationship with him or keep it going, remember that he first loved you.
He loved you when you were unloving, when you were undeserving. He loved you when you were unrepentant. He loved you when you were unresponsive to him. He loved you, and he will not give up on you, and he will continue to love and always be crazy about you, beckoning you closer to him, because he's consumed with passion for you, because you're his creation. He ignited you with purpose. He ignited you with a plan. You were not created by accident. The fact that you are sucking air in this room tonight is a miracle, and it's a testimony to the fact that God loves you. Think of the joy for those of you who are saved, the joy that you felt the first time that you gave your life to the Lord. Do you remember your heart leaping? Do you remember feeling like something just blew up inside of you? It was like that redneck bonfire. I'm burning. I remember that feeling like no other. And I remember for months and months after just being emotional. I'd walk into church and I'm like, not even like worship yet. It's like a greeter at the door. They're like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, sorry, Lord. I'm like on my knees. I'm like, forgive me, Jesus. Like putting an altar up right there. Like, it's because I burned with passion because I knew how much he loved me, how much he had forgiven me for. I remember feeling so filled with compassion for others. But in time, that kind of dies down. That spark fades because sometimes we don't tend it. And we forget that he first loved us. Take that spark within you and keep fanning it. Keep that flame going. Let it burn. Second thing, point number two. Say two. Two. There it is. Number two. Yeah, I don't speak French. I don't know what I'm doing. Claire was speaking Spanish earlier. I'm like, hola. Because that's the only word. Hola. There we go. Close enough. Point number two. First thing is to remember that he first loved you. Second thing is to remain in that love. Remain in that love. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. I love when Jesus is just totally plain. It's totally plain in that verse. The Father's loved me, so I love you. Remain in it. He's like, no big deal. Just remain in it. Remain in it. Remaining in love with Jesus, though, takes work. It takes work. It's not easy. It takes time on your part of putting him first, of taking a stand for him. It takes effort to get past your feelings, to just be obedient to what he asks. Think of when you've been walking somewhere and you just feel like maybe you should do something crazy, like maybe pray for that person that you don't know. Or you're in an elevator and it's like, you're like, I feel like the Lord is telling me to awkwardly pray for this person next to me. And you're like, are you in a place of obedience? Do you do it? Do you do it? Do you remain in that love? Do you love Jesus so much that you say, you know what, I've got to put my feelings aside and just do this? It takes evaluation on your part to continue growing, to not be satisfied with where you are in your pursuit of Christ. One of the most dangerous things that I hear from people, and it troubles me, especially when I hear it in the church, I say, how are you doing? How's your relationship with you and the Lord? And they say, oh, you know what? I'm satisfied, or I'm happy with where I am with Jesus. That frightens me when I hear that. Because all of us should be so consumed with passion, so burning for him, that we are not satisfied with where we are, that we want more of him, and that we will not relent until we can get just a little bit closer. But see, with Jesus, a little bit closer isn't enough. We need a little bit more and a little bit more. Because he's perfection. Because he's love. Think of something that you love. You can't get enough of it. It consumes you. When there's a pack of Oreos in my cabinet, it consumes me, literally. Like, I think about them. I can't get enough of these Oreos. I limit myself to one row at a time. And I have to, otherwise I'll eat an entire box of them. With an entire gallon of milk. Because I really love Oreos. Maybe it's something more serious on your part. Mandy and I have been married almost 8 years. This November 25th will be 15 years that we've been together. We've known each other for a long time. I've known Mandy over half of my life. But I'm not satisfied with the level of that I know her at. I want to know her more. I want to pursue her more. I want to go deeper in our relationship. Why? Because I love her. It's true. I want you guys to get this. If you walk away with one thing from my message, and this is it, I will be happy tonight. Love requires a choice. And you have the choice to remain in the love of Jesus. Love requires a choice, and you have the choice to remain in the love of Jesus. Now, when we think of the examples of love that we have here on earth, a lot of times we think of marriages. And unfortunately, there are so many marriages that do end in divorce, and we hear a lot of people say, I just fell out of love. I fell out of love for that person. A few things that I just kind of want to get to in love is that, one, I really don't like that saying, it was love at first sight. Like, now you're experiencing lust at first sight. You need to go a little bit deeper than that. There's a difference. Love is developed in time. It's a choice to love, and it's a choice not to love. And when divorce does happen, somewhere along the line, one or both of those people had started making small choices that were unloving. And it got to a point where they made the choice to stop loving entirely, to where they said this relationship isn't worth saving. But it was a choice to start coming out of that love, whether by one party or both. And I am not downing anybody who comes from a family that involves divorce. I came from a family that involves that. My mom, before she met my dad, went through a really nasty divorce. I come from a split family. And so I don't want you to ever take anything I'm saying like that. I mean, divorce is a horrible thing, and it's not God's intention. It's not. But love comes down to a choice. You have the choice to remain in the love of Christ, to remain in relationship with Jesus. You don't just fall out of love with him. You don't fall out of relationship with him. It's small compromises, small choices that push you away from that love to get you to the point where you would walk away. And when you love someone, it takes work to grow and to develop that relationship. And you see the healthiest marriages are the ones where the couples keep dating each other. Because they're making intentional choices to love one another. And there's times where they probably don't feel like that, but they push through and they do it anyways because they want to remain in love. See, in dating, you put your best foot forward. You put your best foot forward to show the person that you're saying, maybe I would spend the rest of my life with you. And if you're dating, that would be your intention. You're saying, man, maybe someday we're going to get married. That's the whole point of dating. You're saying like, yeah. I'm interested in spending the rest of my life with you. You put your best foot forward. You put your best foot forward. Do the same in your relationship with Jesus. You want to remain in the love of Jesus? Put your best foot forward. Give him your best, not your leftovers. And now you have a golden opportunity coming up to help yourself remain in the love of Jesus or go deeper in it. And that is Winter Camp. And I know we've been pushing this hard. It's because we believe in it. We want you there because we've seen what it does in your life. It helps you get your focus back where it belongs. It helps you to recharge. For those of you that went last year, I want you to think of the things that God did in your life, that he spoke in your heart, those altars that you were at, those discussion groups you were in. And think about how it lit a fire in you and a passion. And I seen it when we came back. I seen you guys burn with a passion for the Lord. And I seen that carry up to when we did a missions trip last summer to Atlanta. You guys burned when you were there, and that launched you even further. But it started with that spark that you were willing to fan. I want you to think of that. So if you're not sure if you're going to go or you're saying you're not, I want you to reconsider that. I want you to reconsider that. What can Winter Camp do for your relationship with Jesus? Use it to remain in his love. So I want to begin our closing tonight with verse 7. It says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, out of that verse, what I want you to get is that we are called by Jesus to remember why we love and to remain in that love. And he tells us that if we can root ourselves in that love, if we can serve Jesus, if we can seek him above all else, that the payoff will be far greater than anything we could ever experience here on this earth.
The payoff is worth it. The payoff is worth it when it comes to Jesus. We remember why we love and we remain in it. If we can do those two things, he says it's worth it in the end. Now, some of you have probably noticed the candles up here burning. We've got a few of them up here. There's some people coming up right now that are going to help me illustrate part of this message at the end. And so in this, what I really want you guys to get is I want you to see what a life consumed with passion really looks like. I want you to see that. Come on, there we are. What I want to share tonight in closing is the account of the 40 martyrs of Sebaste. They were a Roman legion that was in modern-day Turkey. Now, this takes place, it's an actual historical event that happened about 320 years after Jesus had came to this earth, after he offered himself on the cross. This happened in the middle of a cold winter. Now, the Roman ruler Caesar, he declared that all under his authority are to worship pagan gods and to bow before him as a god. He's erecting himself to that position with Jesus, where Jesus should be in their life. Now, these 40 Roman soldiers are in a legion, and I just think this is awesome. They're in a legion named Armed with Lightning. How cool is that? This is cool. This is awesome. It's truly incredible. So these 40 faithful followers of Jesus heard the accounts of old. They heard testimonies of people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said, I will not compromise my faith. They see an unwavering devotion to the Lord above all else. And these 40 knew there was complete allegiance to Jesus was number one priority over their commitment to Caesar. They knew that was maximum priority. And they replied to the edict that Caesar had put out by saying, we bow only to Jesus. We bow only to Jesus. And furious, Caesar ordered them to recant their confession to Jesus and to bow and worship him within 24 hours. And 24 hours passed, and the 40 soldiers replied, Caesar, you know our hearts. You know that we are loyal to you. You know that we have pledged our allegiance to you and we fought many battles and we would lay our lives down on the battlefield for you. But we bow to only one true God and we will not bow before any other. Caesar, even more enraged with their defiance, decides that if that's their loyalty, then he is going to test it. He ordered the troops to take them down to the town square to a frozen lake, and each of the 40 was stripped naked. They were beaten, and they were sent out onto the ice with only a candle. And Caesar said, if this is your choice, then you can use that candle for warmth, that candle to keep you alive. And he said, but if you want out of this, if you want to save your life, then renounce your faith in Christ. Renounce Jesus as Lord, and you can come off of the ice. Now the soldiers on the shoreline guarding them made these huge fires. They taunted them and humiliated them as they slowly froze to death out on this lake. And one by one, the 40 martyrs stood there, beginning to lose control one after another, or freezing to death and falling. Hours go on. Freezing to death is a horrible way to die. And after hours upon hours had passed, there are two struggling and remaining to keep alive. One falls down and gives in to death. And the final soldier is standing. 39 have gone before him into eternity. And the mind games come and he asks himself, is this worth it? Is giving up my life worth it? He looks out at the shore and he sees the burning fires roaring. He sees the guards around it warm. He throws down his candle and he runs to the shore yelling, I renounce Jesus. I renounce Jesus. He screams as he's running. I
renounce Jesus, is his cry.
And now the soldiers cheer. They greet him with blankets. They bring him towards the fire. They begin to warm him up. But what the troops failed to see is while all this is going on, the commander of the legion is watching these troops freeze to death. And he realizes what kind of love and devotion would compel a man to endure this kind of death for something that couldn't be truth. This must be real, and the love of God came into my life. These people are living to die for this. And he was so compelled by the love of Jesus that the commander decided, I will give my life. And while the soldier was coming off, the commander went around the other way to the ice, tearing off his clothes as he's going, and he was running joyfully onto the ice, shouting, I will give my life for Jesus. I will give my life for Jesus. And he took his place on the ice among the 39 who went before him. And when the sun rose in the morning, there were 40 martyrs of Sevast that were frozen to death on that lake. One had walked off, but another came into relationship. These martyrs died confident, remaining in the love of Jesus. They died confident, remaining in that love. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Now I believe it can be said of the 40 martyrs of Sebaste that they fought the good fight. I believe that they have received a crown of righteousness. And it's because they stayed on the ice. They took a stand. They remained in the love of Jesus. They burned with such a passion that the only thing that mattered was allegiance to Jesus above all else. Don't come off the ice. Remember, he first loved you. Remain in that love. Don't come off the ice. So the question is, these 40 martyrs, they took a stand. What do you stand for? What do you stand for tonight? Or who do you stand for? If not for Jesus, then for who? Who do you stand for in your life? Do you stand for yourself? Do you stand for your feelings or your elevation, your comfort? Or do you stand for Jesus? Will you stay on the ice for Jesus? Will you keep fighting to remain in a place of relationship with Jesus? Will you stay on the ice? Will you stay on the ice? Everybody bow their head and close their eyes. As we wind up tonight, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I want to close out in just a time of worship here in just a few moments. But first, what I want to ask is, if you're saying, man, I want to stand for Jesus, I want to stay on the ice, I want to remain in the love that he has called me in, it starts with giving your life to him. For some of you, that may be the first time. For others, maybe it's the 100th time that you've done it. It doesn't matter tonight. What matters is that you get on the ice. What matters is this moment. What matters is your heart. If that's you, you're saying, I want to give my life to him, or I want to come back, I want to invite you to do that. If that's you, I ask you to slip your hand up. Every head's down, every eye is closed. If that's you, you're just in a place where you say, I'm away from Jesus. Thank you. There's a hand. Is anybody else? Is anybody else saying, I want to enter into relationship with Jesus? I'll give you just a few more moments. Thank you. Here's another hand. If that's you, if you slipped your hand up, I want
you just to follow along. All of us are going to pray this prayer. But for those of you that have your hand up, I just want you to know that if you pray this prayer, it's obvious that you mean it. I mean, you wouldn't respond if you didn't. Get on the ice. Get on the ice and give it to Jesus. Dear Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I've sinned. I know I fell short of your standards. Forgive me, Father. I've made a mess of life. Jesus, I believe in you. And I believe you died for me. I accept you into my heart, into my life, as my Lord and Savior, but also as my King. Sit on the throne of my heart, Jesus. Forgive me my sins. Help me to get on the ice for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can look up here. I want you to understand something. If you gave your life to the Lord tonight, Scriptures are clear what happens. It says in heaven, when one person comes into a relationship, there is such a rejoicing. 10,000 by 10,000 throw the craziest party you have ever seen because one person has stepped into eternity. Can we just celebrate for a minute this miracle that has just happened?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Know that if you have done that, the blood of the Most High King, the one true God, flows through your veins. You have been adopted into the sonship, into the daughtership of the Most High King. God views you as a son or a daughter at this moment. And it's by nothing you've done to earn it. It's just because he's that crazy about you. Because he loves you that much. It's because he loves you. For the rest of us here, I would just ask, what do you stand for? What do you stand for in life? If tonight you're here and you say you're a Christian, you say that you follow Jesus, are you willing to stand for him in your school? Are you willing to stand for him in your home, in your community, in that grocery store, in that elevator? Are you willing to stand for him among your friends? Will you stand? Will you stand? Will you get on the ice and remain there? Remaining in that love of the Lord, no matter what happens, will you stand? If that's you, I just want to spend the last bit of tonight in worship. Because I believe if that's you, if you're saying, I will stand, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. If that's you, and you worship, and you give it to the Lord, I believe he's going to change some things in your heart tonight. I believe some fears are going to fall off in this place. I believe some people are going to receive boldness who have been seeking it for a while. But most importantly, the commitment that you make saying, I will stay on the ice. I will stay on the ice. If you worship, if you give it to the Lord, I believe he will root that into your heart. So if that's you, you say, I will stand for Jesus, come. Let's worship him.
us. Sing it out, you guys. Come on. Open the heavens wide. Open the heavens wide. Open the heavens wide. wide. Hope in the heavens wide. Pour out your spirit on us. Heavens wide, open the heavens wide, open the heavens wide, pour out your spirit on us. Begin to start speaking to God, speaking to Him, telling Him, declaring Him how much He means to you. Just say how much you love Him and how much He loves you and how much He's done for you. Have a grateful heart right now. Proclaim it to Him in the name of Jesus. Just say how thankful you are for Him, how amazing He is, God. Oh, thank you. To save the with everything. And right now, God is always asking us to, you know, give Him our everything. We just want, this is the point of worship right now, to just give Him everything that's going on in our lives, going on that we're dealing with, any stress, anything that's going good as well. We give it all to Him. With everything that we can give, we can proclaim the truth in the name of Jesus. We can pray that He will do great things. We just know it. So right now, I want to ask that we can just surrender our everything by any way of showing it, by raising your hand or going on your knees, saying that you are my King, you are my Lord, I give you my everything.
We lay at your feet.
40 martyrs. What was so powerful in their life is that Jesus was their number one thing. When they were handed a candle, they let it be lit, and they let it shine. And it makes you wonder, what would ever compel somebody to freeze to death on a lake? Like the lyrics you just sung, let hope rise, and let darkness tremble in the presence of Jesus. So when things get hard in life, when things get rough, and you feel like taking that candle and just throwing it on the ground and running off the ice to a place of comfort, to a place that's familiar, remember why you love, and remain in that love. In the book of Acts, it shares the account of Stephen, another incredible hero of the faith and martyr. Worship team, just a logistic thing. I want to do a live one last time, so we're going to end on a high note here. Book of Acts, the account of Stephen the martyr. He was one who stood there on the ice, and he was so compelled with what Jesus had done for him, who Jesus is, that in the face of fierce opposition, he stayed on the ice. He held his candle proudly. And it says, while the crowd gathered around him and they beat him to death with stones, stoned him alive, it says that the heavens opened and there was Jesus standing there. And he's looking down. I want to live the kind of life that makes Jesus stand on his throne in heaven and look down at me and say, wow. And I don't believe he was just standing. I believe he was giving Stephen a standing ovation. Saying, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So tonight, as we end with one last song in worship, I don't want you just to worship. I want you to lose your minds. And I want you to do it all for Jesus. I want you to go crazy in this place. And I want you literally to make the gates of hell shake with your praise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Tonight, know to the sun sets free is free indeed. Your circumstances do not matter. The type of job you have won't matter. How many friends you have on Facebook will not matter. What matters is that you don't get off the ice. For the sun sets free is free indeed. Remember that. As you leave here tonight, leave here encouraged and walk out of this place and freedom.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.